everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She stunned the world with her beauty at the tender age of 15 and would go on to make advertising history as the longest-running spokesperson for CoverGirl Cosmetics, a record 30 years, all the while garnering roles with Hollywood's elite and rendering iconic performances, her most notable film, The Summer of 42. Why, then, would this Brazilian-born beauty attempt to end her life before it even began? And was this just the tip of things to come, propelling Jennifer towards a devastating abortion, 9 marriages, 8 husbands, and a downward spiral of hopelessness when everything seemed to be so promising for this beautiful cover girl? But what was the real story behind this story, the cover-up yet to be revealed? Would you welcome to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, internationally acclaimed actress and model, author of Surviving Myself and several other books, pro-life activist, equestrian, artist, and so much more, the fabulous Jennifer O'Neill. Jennifer, welcome to Testimony.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, that was a harrowing introduction. I would wait to find out what is going on.
Well, this is not even the tip of all that you've done, so it was a challenge for me just to put into words just briefly what you've done. Jennifer, your life is one that movies should be made of. So for part one of our two-part conversation, would you just begin to tell our audience your early beginnings and how that propelled you towards your eventual faith in Jesus Christ? Jennifer, please tell us that story.
Well, oh, thank you. Just even to touch the tip of the surface, when I did write Surviving Myself, my autobiography, I was prompted by my kids. I have 3 children and 4 grandchildren at this stage. And it was a scary concept to get my arms around. First of all, I didn't think I was at all interesting, but the reason I wanted to take the task on was to say what Jesus Christ had done in my life and want to tell a life that looked so good on the outside and hurt so badly on the inside, was so all that glitters but empty without Christ. And it of course, we all start at the beginning of our lives, and I had parents. I knew that my story was not going to be a finger-pointing mission. You throw dirt, you lose ground. That was not the idea of telling my tale. But basically was to be an honest account of that life that started feeling very invisible. My parents were lovely, madly in love. My mom's English. My dad met her in London during the war, and he was a war hero. So they had this grand romance. I had a brother 16 months older than I, and yet I think that nothing was maliciously forwarded to me or my brother from my parents, except that they were very involved with themselves, and so I felt invisible growing up, and that's a chime that rings with a lot of people, especially girls, and I thought that I had to earn love. Didn't understand, didn't have any idea who Jesus Christ was, did not grow up in the church. And so I was on a mission to feel loved. And my story goes through a lot of tragic ups and downs. You mentioned about trying to kill myself. Teen suicide is one of the biggest killers of our teenagers, other than car accidents. And I can tell you honestly, obviously, I did not want to die, and thankfully I didn't succeed. But at 14, some harrowing events happened in my life, and I took my mom's sleeping pills and was in a coma for 2 weeks and came out of that so many times of almost dying over my lifetime, 3 times having been shot, and so forth, I've realized when I did come to my faith at 38 years old that God had his hand on my shoulder and his grace in my life, even though I didn't know it. I was on this spiraling, having that great outside-looking life and hurting so badly on the inside. So it's a tale of that.
Right. I remember seeing you in the movie of the summer of 42, and your beauty I would describe as just effortless. For our audience listening today, Jennifer, what was that harrowing experience that happened to you at age 14 that would cause you to want to end your life? What was that?
Well, first of all, we all know that looks are just a gift from God. So if I was born pretty, that was great. But I didn't feel pretty inside, and I didn't, I think many of us feel, as I said before, invisible. And my particular harrowing experience was that I was looking for love in all the wrong places as I grew up. And when I was little, because I didn't have, I had that hole in my heart that I couldn't fill, and I didn't know what it was. We all want unconditional love, and so I had this passion for animals. My parents didn't understand that. They were city folk, et cetera. And I finally, after years, I know this sounds so silly, really, but it isn't. I had a passion for animals because they love us unconditionally. And I finally talked my parents into letting me have a dog, and I used to go take care of a horse down the street. And my parents decided that they were going to move into the city at 14, send my brother to boarding school, and send my dog to the pound. And that sounds dramatic, but yeah. Really at that time, that was felt like the end of my life. I was just angry and hurt, and wanted my parents to know that I needed to be heard. So most of the time, in great percentages, suicide attempts are really a crying out to be heard. They're very self-centered attempts to be heard. So I'm not condoning it, obviously. And I was fortunate to have survived that. But to me, my life had ended. At that point, when I came out of that, my dog was sent to the pound, and I went into New York. I was determined to be able to realize my own dreams and not have anyone be able to take away my heartbeat. And so I started modeling. I was a very insecure, tall, skinny girl, and was blessed with pretty looks, but certainly was not in the shell. I was already damaged goods, and uh-huh. Nothing was understood, grieved, or healed at that point in my life. And that was a repeated pattern until I came to Christ, where things would happen as they do with people. But if they're not understood, grieved, or healed, and you don't have your core and your foundation, and of course, we who know Christ know that he is the only way, and he's the only thing that matters. And so the superficial glitter and glam of the world can leave you even more empty than not even having that opportunity sometimes.
So, Jennifer, what was that one moment, that one defining moment that said, Jesus, I need you, I need help, my life isn't working?
Well, I knew, honestly, I had been seeking out God. I always believed in God. I certainly knew that there was something far greater than I, and the world did not revolve around me. And I tried to find God. I studied Eastern philosophy. I traveled the world. And I came to my faith in Jesus Christ at 38 years old at a very happy time. I was not in a down position in terms of the fact that I was carrying my third child after having 9 miscarriages, after suffering an abortion, and many things that I couldn't categorize or even digest in my life. But when I came to Christ, I was in a good frame of mind. The grace of God had uh-huh. a friend of mine come and actually start to talk to me about Jesus Christ. And I started to read the Bible. And that was the turning point. It was my time. And I received Christ when I had my last child, my son, and we dedicated him, and I was baptized. And And that was, I was just 65, so that was a good lick of time ago, 26 years ago.
Praise
God. It's all been a process since, but God's grace is never ending and is never too late.
Well, see, that's what I find amazing about your story. That's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the testimony program. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to internationally acclaimed actress Jennifer O'Neill. We're going to be hearing more from Jennifer in our second segment next week. Jennifer, your story is one of such hope because very few people that I know of can even survive one devastation. You've survived so many, 9 miscarriages, 9 marriages. Actually, you had 8 husbands and you married one twice.
How crazy is that? I sent my book, Surviving Myself, to Elizabeth Taylor. In the industry, in the film industry, no matter how much impact it has, it seems to have an entree to each other, even if we don't personally know each other. So I boldly sent it to Elizabeth Taylor because I wanted her to hear about Jesus Christ. And she called me up and she said, oh, my goodness, I just read your book. And, wow, do we have a lot in common? And she said, we didn't date men. We married everyone. and we're both hard to kill.
Right.
And I hope, I mean, Elizabeth, dear Elizabeth, has died, and I hope I will see her for eternity. But I do know that all we need to know and do, we need to know Jesus Christ first. And the only thing we need to do is speak about him on the cross to others, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. So that message was sent. If she received it, I pray.
Praise God. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it's in reading the Word, which there is life in the Word, that brings someone that truth. It's a spiritual thing. So
absolutely.
You said that was the pivotal point that really caused you to believe, which is so wonderful. In our remaining moments, can you talk to that young girl out there who doesn't know who she is in Christ and tell her what she needs to do?
Well, we all are on this mission to be affirmed and loved, and as I spoke about earlier, feeling invisible. We are not invisible to God Almighty, and he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. So I'm saying any girl, any person out there, whether they're 90 or 9, is that you are adored and created specifically in the image of God. You have your own DNA, your own fingerprints. He knows every hair on your head. You are a delight to him. You are his creation, and he adores you. So we need to find the real self-esteem, which is not about what the magazines say and how long your eyelashes are or your hair or if you're popular, but just if you can just receive the love of God, which is the only love that is immeasurable and means eternity, then you can begin to grow in that and exude that, and you are a beautiful wonder of God.
Thank you, Jennifer. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Jennifer O'Neill. Jennifer will be back with us next week to share more of her incredible story on Testimony. We look forward to having you back, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
Can't wait. Thanks so much. God bless.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the incredible story of one woman's journey to faith. A cover girl who was really covering up for the pain that no one saw but her. Internationally acclaimed actress, author, pro-life activist, someone who is out there sharing her faith
giving hope, and giving awareness to the devastation of abortion in our country. And she should know. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, Miss Jennifer O'Neill. Jennifer, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much, and I really want to say thank you for this opportunity, and I'm reaching out, as you are, through your radio program, et cetera, all of those who have ears to hear, and what an honor it is to be with you.
Well, it's a great honor to have you, and I don't think there's anyone on the planet, unless they've been living under a rock, that does not know who you are. You are the acclaimed actress in the movie The Summer of 42. You have graced the cover of every major magazine as the CoverGirl spokeswoman for over 30 years. You made history there. You're the author of several books. Surviving Myself is your autobiography. You've done so much to bring awareness to the issue of abortion and the devastation of your own. So for this segment, Jennifer, I really want to talk about how you ended up having your abortion, how that devastated your life, and why you are on a campaign now as spokesperson for Silent No More Awareness Campaign to bring healing to women who've had abortions, and your own ministry. I'd like you to talk about that as well for young girls and young women. Jennifer, please tell us more.
Well, may I be so bold as to quote Romans 8:28, that God can turn all things for good, and I'm paraphrasing, for those who love him and desire to be in his service. And so all the nooks and crannies of our lives, all the things that we're shameful of, guilty, and don't want to remember, God, if you lay it at the foot of the cross, can turn them all around and give you a platform so we can become billboards for the truth through his healing. And so when I received Christ at 38 years old, I received his healing in all the areas of my life. I received his grace and his forgiveness. And I knew I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. But it took me probably almost 10 years before I wrote my autobiography, Surviving Myself, and had to honestly address the issues in my life. And right there, staring me in the face, was my biggest scar and nightmare, which was abortion. In the early 70s, when abortion had just become legal, I had been married when I was 17, had my daughter when I was 19, divorced after 6 years, devastated over that, and fell in love with the man with whom I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with. He was waiting for a divorce, had 4 children. I had mine. And there's a reason God says to wait, but I didn't know the Lord then, and we were engaged to be married, and I found myself pregnant, thrilled to be so, by the way, earlier than I had expected, but oh my gosh, I was so excited. But when I presented him with the fact that we were expecting a baby, he wasn't excited. He just told me I was going to have an abortion. Yeah. It's a long story, longer than your radio program, but 80% of women, girls who have abortion are coerced in some fashion, pressured, whether it's teens by their parents meaning well to have them finish their education or finances or for whatever reason. We're pressed into the nightmare and lie from the pit of hell that at that time I was told by my physician that my abortion was just a cluster of cells, a blob of tissue under 3 months gestation, and I would be back in at work, or as they say, at school, by over the weekend. I want just quickly, because I know we are pressed a bit for time, to tell your audience this. Abortion is a lie. It destroys families, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of our sins, including abortion.
Amen.
And God says in his word that he has our babies, whether they die of natural causes or aborted, that God will not be defeated in the life issue. This is so important because it's the aftermath of abortion that continues to devastate society and families. And we can stand up against this devastation with the truth that our babies are in heaven. There is reconciliation and forgiveness, and that once we allow the blood of Christ to heal us in this area, as I said before, we can be billboards for the truth and pass the baton of truth. You know what's so exciting is that 75%+ of our youth in this nation, even though they have been brought up in a culture of death, are pro-life. On a personal notice, I feel it. They look around and realize that they're missing one-third of their generation to abortion. This can stop. It will stop, and the truth of it needs to be known. So if you've had an abortion, if you've known anyone who's had an abortion, there is hope and healing and wholeness and reconciliation in Christ, and then we can let the truth be known about abortion, because it is a devastation of that is not obviously pleasing to God. He has his arms around us on this issue.
Amen, and that is so beautifully spoken. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to actress, activist, and author Jennifer O'Neill. Jennifer, for those who may have just tuned in, you had 9 miscarriages. You are a breast cancer survivor. You have overcome so much. And Romans 8:28 that you quoted earlier is the perfect scripture. That God works everything out to those that are called. I can see that Satan tried to take you out at the age of 14 when you first wanted to end your life, but God knew that you were going to be on the platform, on the world's platform, and then later use that platform for God's glory, which you are doing all across the nation and all over the world. Your website, I want to make sure we get that in, is www.jenniferoneill.com. You've written a book, Surviving Myself, your autobiography. And for those that are interested in getting behind what you do, there is a website they can go to also, Silent No More Awareness Campaign. And if there is any other information you can give our listeners right now to contact you directly, I would love for you to do that as we continue our second segment of your wonderful testimony.
Well, we all have a testimony and a platform, and again, it's so important when you mention the 9 miscarriages along the way. The devastation of abortion, it's very important for people to understand that it is enormous, and there's so much pain connected with it, and mine also included the physical repercussions of having an abortion. But I want your listeners to understand this. Before I came to Christ, I thought that all those miscarriages, I was being punished somehow for the heinous act I allowed my life by abortion, because I was already a mom. And in my soul, even though I didn't know Christ yet, I knew that we weren't designed to kill our babies, to abort our babies. So, and yet I was also physically devastated by that and struggled to have more children. God does not punish us. This is not the God we serve. This is not, if things, bad things happen after we do bad things, that's not God. God is an almighty, amazing, forgiving, gracious, loving Father in heaven. So we can have as much of Him as we want. And we have to step into the healing and wholeness that He's already planned for us from the foundation of time. So I don't want to get too deep with this, except that we should not allow the enemy, Satan, to hold us in shame or guilt over anything in our lives. We lay it at the foot of the cross. We receive His forgiveness and grace. We move on. We become the lamplight of His Spirit in us to draw others near, to understand that this is where we are. There is a now. We are wholly and completely loved in Christ.
Thank you, Jennifer. No, that is so important, because if someone is held back by guilt and shame, how do they move forward into the destiny that God has for them? And, you know, I'm just reminded, the Word clearly tells us that sin is sin. There is no greater sin. Sin is sin, period. And God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace. Now, you have a DVD series that was brought to my attention that any church or any home group can do that takes one through the process of getting healing after having had an abortion. And it doesn't just affect the women. It affects the men, and that doesn't seem to be talked about too much. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Silent No More also embraces, it's not just the women that are who are victims, and sometimes, you know, my story, the guy wanted me, my fiancé wanted me to have an abortion, but not all, some men, their babies are aborted without their consent. So abortion affects everyone, the children, the family dynamic, and there is hope and healing. I do have a resource that is all biblically based. You know, as you know well, I can hear, we have nothing to say, but God has everything to say. And as we trumpet what He has to say, this series is called Life After Abortion. I wrote a book called From Fallen to Forgiven, again, biblically based, dealing with the, not notion, the importance of forgiveness. God reiterates in his the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, again, if you have any, hold anyone in forgiveness, including yourself, and forgiving the all of us fall short of the glory of God, all of us sin, and all sin is under his forgiveness and the blood of Jesus on the cross. That covers everything. So just know, if your listeners, if you're a mature Christian, you can have more and go deeper. God will take you in spirals of taking you deeper into the mystery of the gospel, and so that you can be a lamplight and encourage others. If you're new, or even if you don't know Christ, please just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit, and know that we are out of control, but we are in control with Him in Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Jennifer O'Neill. You can learn more about Jennifer's story and get behind her ministry by going to jenniferoneill.com. Jennifer, it's been an honor to have you on the program today, and God bless you for all that you are doing for women and young girls and men and everyone all across this nation. God bless you.
Thank you for your ministry and the stand that you're taking in allowing the Word of God to get out through your hard work and diligence. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. God bless you, Jennifer.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.